Turn to the book of Psalm chapter 92 and verse number 12 with me tonight, please. Psalm 92 and verse 12, the Bible says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Lord, bless this book now. Your holy name, amen. If you go to St. Augustine, Florida, you're going to find an oak tree down there called a senator. It's over 600 years old. Old and majestic tree. In 1513, Ponce the Lion, Ponce de Leon, in search of the Fountain of Youth, came into St. Augustine. And, of course, they have a place there, site, and they've got water coming up out of the ground, and they've got a rock, and the water's running across the rock. But if the water could give you eternal youth, why, Ponce the Lion would still be with us, right? It didn't work. You can't get eternal life from water that runs out of the ground. It must come from the water that comes from the rock that's been smitten. That's where the eternal life comes from. A man has always been in search of something to where he could live forever. If you've been around, you'll see the live oak tree, which to me is a beautiful tree. You'll see sometimes the limbs will come down like this and they'll touch the ground. They call them angel oaks. And in Charleston, South Carolina, there's one of the old mansions over there. And there's an angel oak. It's a beautiful old tree. And it's like this. The oak tree, the live oak, it has Spanish moss, they call it, hanging from it. And you know when you see that you are in a different climate completely than this one. It's quite a thing. I hope that you have seen that. If you haven't, you ought to just take a trip down there and see those trees and see the Spanish moss and see all of that. And you know by studying the Bible that the olive tree is a picture of the tree of life. And it was under the old olive trees that Christ prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, which literally means an olive press. And of course the olive tree is a very valuable tree because it gives forth not only beauty in its own sense, but it gives forth olive oil, which to this day is a very beneficial thing. But the tree we're talking about tonight is the palm tree. And the palm tree, if you've ever been to the south, you've seen the palm tree. It's quite a different tree from the rest around. They'll grow on a flat land. They'll grow on a hill. And they grow straight up when they grow. They're different. It's a different tree entirely. In Jeremiah chapter number 10 and verse number 5, Jeremiah says, "They are upright as the palm tree." Now, the palm tree does not have branches that bend down. There are no angel oak palm trees. They shoot straight up. In plain words, they represent the uprightness of a child of God, an upright individual. You've heard it said many times, I'm sure, that back in the 1800s, a handshake was all it took to seal a bargain or a deal or a covenant. And a man's word was as good as his bond. And that was a fine day indeed, because people had character back then. And character is a very important thing. As I told you before, your charisma, your talent, the right connections and all the rest of that can get you to the top. But the only thing that can keep you there is a character. That's the only thing. It takes character to keep you there. And character is not something that can be hammered out overnight. Character is something that builds over time. So the palm tree is an upright tree. I've always marveled at them. Now let me make this tonight just mention one thing. There is a difference between a palm tree and a palmetto. Or a palmetto, I guess it isn't a palmetto. Palmetto. A palmetto is the state tree of South Carolina. And it's a different tree entirely from a palm tree. The palm has longer leaves. The palmetto, they're shorter. But they do look similar. And if you're not careful, you can mistake one for the other. But we're talking about a palm tree tonight. And the Bible says that the upright as the palm tree. I hope that's been your testimony, that when people see you, that you're trustworthy, and that they would have your children emulate you. and that you are the kind of person that was, if you're placed in a position of authority, that you won't abuse it, you won't lord over people. That's one of the reasons that a lot of people never make it to authority, because they lord over people. They get this complex in their mind. In Exodus chapter number 1 and verse number 12, here's another statement about the palm. It is an overcoming tree, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because the children of Israel. You see, the palm tree will grow and flourish where the trees fail. They won't make it. But the palm tree can grow in almost a desert situation. I don't know if you know much about that, but you know, a Christian grows by what you are in somebody else, not who you are to yourself. You don't look to people to grow. You grow by being able to trust in the one who saved you. And that'll become more important as you get older. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, the Bible said, "And become followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." The early church suffered martyrdom time and time and time again. And the Romans in their amphitheaters, or their places of disgust, would feed the Christians to the lions. And today they make fun of that, but there's nothing to make fun of. These are our brothers and our sisters. Yes. If you look on the website of the lionofjudah.org, you'll find that I placed across the top of it there a picture, a painting of that very thing. Christians meeting in a little prayer circle, and then you have these Christians that are being burned at the stake, and the door is opened, and out comes a male lion, and here they are. That actually happened. That was a different Christianity back then than it is today. Today, this church is so watered down and is so worldly and so dead that it has to offer to the world a religious entertainment. That's the only way they can draw them in. They have to entertain them. And this is not a theater, folks. This is the church of God. And, you know, but the problem is that so many churches have become theaters. And they have all the lights flashing, and they've got the walls, and they've got the music, and they've got the dancing, and they've got all of that. I don't want that. I want a church. Amen. I don't want any part of that. But it'll grow and flourish where the trees fail. Now, there's something unusual about a palm tree, and that's the way it grows, too. Have you ever cut a tree down? Have you ever did any logging at all? I used to cut trees down because I had a stove, and I had used firewood. And so I became quite a lumberjack. You wouldn't believe what I got into there with it. But I cut down trees, and you can tell how old a tree is by the rings. You sure can. It'll tell you. And it's amazing. I've seen photographs where the rings just continued. And it'll also tell you what kind of year that tree grew, if it was a dry year or a wet year, and put the size of the ring, so forth and so on. A palm tree does not grow like that. A palm tree grows from the inside. It's unusual, isn't it? It doesn't grow with rings. It grows from the inside. It's a different tree. Now, if the Bible says that we are like palm trees, then it means that we grow from the inside. Right? We don't grow by what we put on. We grow by who we have in us. That's how we grow. We grow with who we have in us. And He'll always be in us. He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. And that's the way we grow. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse 11 says, "For behold, the selfsame thing that you sowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you." That's what's important. It's the working of God. He that hath begun a good work will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He works in us, and therefore it becomes the work of God in us to mature us and to build a character within us. This is one of the things that I miss so much in the churches today, and that is there's so few people that have character. They don't know anything about the true nature of character and what it is to people. They don't know. They have no concept of it whatsoever. And so the palm tree, you grow from the inside. And you know, the church today, they want to put on what the world puts on, and put on a show like the world. And then that becomes their testimony. That's no testimony. That's a joke and abomination. That's a shame. But the way that a church, that the palm tree grows is from the inside. Now, here's a remarkable thing about a palm tree, too. Now, those of you that have been into grafting and so forth with trees and plants and what have you, you know what I'm talking about. The Bible said in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You see, grafting is to place into, from a foreign place, into a tree or to a plant and what have you. That's what grafting is. Now, the Christian is grafted into, and I'll get to that in just a moment, in Romans chapter number 11, into the root of the truth and the fathers and where all that came from. But you see, the palm tree is not amenable to grafting. Doesn't work too good with it. You can't add on to what it is from the inside of its nature. What the palm tree is would come from the inside of it, not from something that's been added to the outside. That's a good thing. You can't add the law of Moses to the grace of God. You can't do it. You can't graft it in. Fact is, you cannot take the New Testament and do away with it with the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Both of them are the Word of God. But God progressively reveals himself in Scripture. You show me a man that spends all of his time in the Old Testament, and I'll show you one that knows nothing about the grace of God. Amen. Amen. You be very, very careful when you start trying to do away with a clear revelation of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ, the new birth and all of that, and try to use some Old Testament scripture to cast doubt upon it or to darken it somehow or another. Be very careful with a crowd like that. You cannot graft the flesh into the Spirit. You can't do that. No. He said, have you begun in the Spirit and now you've perfected by the flesh? And no, you haven't. You were born of the Spirit of God. Yeah. If you're born again, I got an email yesterday. I think it was, man, I get them all the time. Get them every day practically. And 90% of them are like this. I was raised in, one man said, I was raised and my father was a drunkard and he left me with my mother. And he left us and we and my mother did the best she could to raise us. And he was just gone. And then he said that for 20 years after he left his home, that his mother prayed for him. She prayed for him for 20 years. And then finally, he came upon his father that had left him all those years earlier. And lo and behold, his father had gotten saved. He'd gotten saved. And so he began to pray for him. His father did. And for the next 20 years, he prayed for him. So for 40 years now, he's had people praying for his salvation. He said he had two kids. Both of them, when they got about 18, 19, 20 years old, went the way of the drugs. They went off into the world of drugs. And they prayed every day for them. And they were out there for years. But he remembered how that for 40 years they'd prayed for him. So he never stopped praying for his kids. Guess what? After years in the drug world, they both got saved. And now they're actively serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This man's got quite a testimony. He sure has. And that's just kind of an example of the kind of things that I get all the time from people. It's not cut and dried. Here's the biggest problem with churches today. They want to put a number back there on the wall. They want to brag about it. There's some Christian newspapers that come along, and I get them. And they'll put in there, we had so many souls saved last year. Put the figure up. Church in a town of 5,000 people had 50,000 people saved last year. I don't like to make fun of certain things, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a joke. Every one of you in this house tonight, if you've been born again, you've been called. You heard the voice of God. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. And a lot of times it's hard to get people to understand that, because you look about you and sometimes you think they haven't heard. Now you say, well, a preacher, what if they're not called? Christ died for all men. He tasted death for every man. Don't make it so simple. Don't make it so cut and dried.
No.
The Bible says that he judges and the judge of every man. We don't have to impress or meet anybody's standards. 40 years they prayed for him. I'm sure some folks prayed for me. Then when I was 27 years old, I met the Lord. So you don't graft into the palm tree.
No.
You don't do it. You have things happen to you that just kind of knock the wind out of you. And it continues to do that as you get older. You think you've experienced everything you can in a church house. And, Lord have mercy, here comes something else. And you got to remember that you're dealing with people. And a lot of what happens to you in the church house by a person is really not intentional. That just because of the nature of that person. You know, a tongue can destroy. Oh, Lord. James set on fire a world of iniquity. The tongue. That's why he put bits in the horse's mouth, he said. And, you know, you're going to get hurt in church. And probably tonight, you'd all, at one time or another, you've been hurt. You might have been hurt by what God did. You thought God did. You might be hurt by another Christian. You might be hurt by the church itself, the whole body. I've seen that happen recently. So what do you do when that happens to you? What do you do? What do you do when you get the wind knocked out of you? What do you do? Well, let me tell you what you don't do. You don't quit. You don't quit. You don't quit. I hate the word quit. I do. I despise it. Quit. You don't quit. So what do? You get you a source of strength. You find what will get you through it. And I'm going to tell you right now, people cannot get you through it. Now, God can use them. They can be friendly. They can pray for you and they can support you. That's all good. Only God will get you through it. Only God. Set your mind on him. Think on him. Read about him. Remember this. His character is unassailable.
Sure is.
He's above the law. You know that bunch of Democrats up there? Nobody's above the law. Watch them. I didn't want to get in politics tonight, but sometimes. Lord. But he's above the law.
Indeed.
Amen. Indeed. He's perfect. He's perfect. That means that when he begins to work in your life, anything he does for you, he has the right motive for it. He has the right motive. He doesn't have to explain why or how he's doing something. Just trust him. Trust him. I've had to do that. I've had to do that recently. Probably have to do it again. I've learned down through the years, you got to get down there with God. And you got to get your mind on him.
Yes.
Not your problems. Not what somebody's doing to you. But get your mind on the Lord.
Yes.
Stay on him. Trust him. He won't do you wrong.
No, never.
He'll do you right.
Yes, he
will. He'll do you right. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11 verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? God never changed the source of truth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You cannot do away with them. The truth came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses wrote the Pentateuch. The source of truth is the Jewish people. The Hebrew and the Jew. That's the source of truth. Now today, they're into everything in the world. So many of them, not all of them. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot divorce yourself from the Hebrew, from the Jew. You can't do it. Everything you believe tonight, that you hold precious in your hands, who wrote that book? Jews. Hebrew. That's who wrote it. All right. You, we, poor old ignorant, wild, Gentiles, carving totem poles, worshiping devils, sacrificing our children, all of that, we've been grafted into that tree, that olive tree. Yeah. Not the other way around. It remains the same, folks. That's important. Nothing's changed about it. See, we've been grafted into it. That's where we are tonight. We're in it. And do you realize tonight that the very grafting, this Gentile church, ecclesia, this Gentile bride, do you know one of the reasons God made that Gentile bride is to make the Jew jealous? Because that Jew, when you take his Tanakh, his Old Testament, he knows you believe it. And yet he wrote it. He knows you read it. Yet he wrote it. He knows you pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Yet he wrote it. And he says to himself, now why are you so carried away with my faith? The Jew says, how come you are so interested in what we believe? Because you're the fathers, that's why. Because it came through you. We would have no existence had it not been for them. It's very important to understand that everything the Lord Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago, he did it in fulfillment of prophecy. Every act, every word, every deed, everything he did, it was in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. Amen. So he did. So we've been grafted in. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. But he didn't graft it into us. We were grafted into the tree. The Bible said, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You ever read that one? All right. Where does the word of God go? Does it go on the outside or where? It goes on the inside. It's put in there, you see. Put in there. That word that's put in your heart. And you love it too. That's one of the things I've learned about Christians. They love the word of God. They love it. They really do. The Bible's a dead book to a man's not born again. Once he's saved by the grace of God, it comes alive. Can't explain it. You can't explain it, but it just all of a sudden, boom, man. And you start reading that book. And what a book it is. Now, in Psalm, the Song of Solomon, chapter number 7 and verse number 6, it says, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights. This thy stature is like to a palm tree. See that? Look how that's being used in the Bible. Like a palm tree. Now, of course, this is in the beauty. In Song of Solomon, chapter number 6, it gets into the issue of the beauty. And the idea is that a palm tree is a beautiful tree. And the different species of palm trees. It's a beautiful tree. It's a beauty in its own right. Have you learned yet that the old saying that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder? How many's ever heard that? That's true, more true than you can imagine. That is true. The Bible talks about a pearl in the snout of a swine. When you see a pearl, what do you think? It's not a diamond. A pearl was created by a living thing. See? Living. And you all have heard it 1,000 times. Because the oyster is hurting, so it's covering it with some kind of a substance, and the more it covers it, the larger the pearl gets. Okay? So it's produced by a life. A life produces that pearl. You look at that pearl and you think, man, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. You see beauty where you never imagined to see beauty. Now this jaded generation out here, if a woman doesn't strip off on a stage, there's no beauty to it for them. But you see, they don't understand what beauty is. That's flesh. That's not beauty. So what is beautiful? There are many, 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 many things tonight that can be defined as beautiful. First of all, the creation is beautiful.
Yeah.
I've never looked into the eyes of a little baby that I didn't think was beautiful. Beauty. I mean to tell you, I see beauty. See beauty in places, you know, these flowers. I look at the flowers and man alive, beautiful. And I'm telling you right now, my dog doesn't appreciate those flowers. The old horse I ride, he didn't care anything about it. My mule, he didn't care anything about those flowers.
No.
But I do.
Yeah.
I do. So the palm tree is a beautiful tree. The Bible said in 1 Kings 6:14, Solomon built the house and finished it. And then 15, he said he built the walls of the house within with boards of cedar, both the floor of the house. Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold and made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. Now, the oracle has to do with the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
And the whole house he overlaid with gold till he'd finished all the house, the whole, and also the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with gold, 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 gold. And within the oracle he made two cherubims of olive tree, each 10 cubits high, set the cherubims within the inner house, stretched forth the wings of the cherubim, so the wing of one touched the one wall, the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. And he overlaid the cherubims with gold. Now watch this. And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubim and palm trees in the temple of God, and open flowers within and without. That's a beautiful thing. So as much as I've said to you tonight about the palm tree, turn to John chapter number 12 and verse 12, and maybe it'll take on a new meaning for you. John 12, 12. John 12, 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city of peace, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
See that? They were saying with those palm leaves, this is valuable.
Yes.
This is beauty. This is stature. This is uprightness. This represents strength. This represents all these things that I taught. They're yours. We lay them before you. You're worthy of it.
Yes.
Save now.
Yes.
And of course he did save. But he didn't save them the way they thought they'd be saved. But he did save the palm tree. It's a beautiful tree.
Yes, it is.
Not much for shade.
No.
But it wasn't made to give you shade, was it?
No.
There was a tree over in the Old Testament he sat down under, and it was a shade tree. You remember what it was called?
Juniper.
That's right. Juniper. A juniper tree. Father, bless your word.
Yes.
Thank you for the little time we've had together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.